Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 48. My name is John. I'm a lowbrow, but I rock a little know-how. No time for the piggies or the hoosegow. Get smart. Get down with the powwow. Never been a better time than right now. This is not going to be a typical podcast for me. I'm going to get a little bit into pop culture, sports in general, and the Super Bowl in specific. I've got a point that I'm going to get into later regarding sports, but I just want to do something a little frivolous for a change. After that, some items that have come into the news over the past few weeks. And I'm a guy who believes in saving the best for last, and in this case, that means that I'll be ending on a very, very important story. But first, some background. I grew up a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. Now, if you live in San Antonio, where I grew up, there's a good bet that if you even remotely like football, then you're a Cowboys fan. I actually got into fights with Oilers fans when I was a kid. Yes, I was that stupid. I absorbed all kinds of football information. My teachers would get mad at me for always reading books about football. My parents never fostered my enthusiasm, so I never played in any organized system. And that's probably for the best since I was undersized. But the few times I got to play in pickup games with guys who are actually on junior high or high school teams, I got compliments from them on my heart, even when I lacked size and skill. But I didn't get to watch it as much as I wanted to, because my parents, or at least my mother, were devout fundamentalist Christians who insisted on attending morning and evening services at church. I always missed the first part of the early Sunday games, and I missed the second half of the late games because of church obligations. This was before Sunday night football came along. The worst part was on Super Bowl Sunday, when the evening service forced me to miss at least the first half of the game, if not the whole thing. I never got to see Terry Bradshaw or Roger Staubach actually win a game. I saw Scott Norwood miss the game-winning field goal on a VHS recording. Fast forward to now. Almost 10 years since I left organized religion and eventually all religion completely. By the way, if you're religious and you're striving to improve your faith and find truth in your life, I commend you. I wish you nothing but the best on your journey. But leaving religion was the best decision I ever made. Not for this reason, but now I get to watch football anytime I want. And you know something? I don't really watch it all that much. I stopped caring about the Cowboys when they fired Tom Landry. Now, I appreciated their run in the 90s, but I didn't love them. If you read my Twitter feed, you know I really give that team a lot of crap these days. I think they're overrated, and their fans, especially in my hometown, can be really annoying. I should know, I was one of them. But I also have so much more that's important to me now. In fact, American football isn't even my favorite kind of football these days. Truth be told, I love Australian football more than any other sport. Go Cats. Australian football is just amazing. It's like the free form of soccer, the hitting of rugby, and the scoring of basketball. It's incredible. You gotta watch it. Fox Soccer Plus. Catch it. The season's just about to begin. It's a bitch to play, though, especially when you're a horrendously out of shape 40-something trying to keep up with college students. But even more than that, I care more about politics, the direction of the United States, and desperately preventing the destruction of the Constitution by statists and collectivists. I mean, yeah, it's fun watching Drew Brees pass to Jimmy Graham in the end zone, but Obamacare, TSA, NSA, impotent legislators, the road to serfdom. I actually missed the NFC Championship game this year because I had a more important engagement. I was at a fundraising dinner for the 2012 Libertarian Party presidential candidate, Gary Johnson. But the Super Bowl, that is something I want to watch. I don't care if I have friends over or if I watch it alone. I've done both over the past few seasons. I will have hot wings, I will have pizza, and I will have beer. Good beer. Nothing that you would actually see a commercial for during the game. I may or may not have my famous pineapple salsa or other snacks, but I will have my staples. I will watch the game with no bathroom breaks, except for during the halftime show, unless it's a decent act. You know, Red Hot Chili Peppers, yes. Bruno Mars, no. I will watch the trophy presentation, and if it's a good game, I'll switch over to ESPN for the post-game interviews. Didn't do that this year. Now, leading up to the conference championships, I tweeted my opinions about the final four teams. An undersized quarterback who has a chance to lead his team to their first ever championship. I can cheer for that. Russell Wilson is one of those players I can appreciate. People underestimated him because of his size. They quickly learned not to do that. And there's something fun about watching a team winning a championship for the first time. Now, Seattle doesn't have a long history of dismal play that the Buccaneers had in 2003 or the Saints had in 2009, but I love it when a team finally breaks through and gets the trophy. A quarterback with a chance of tying Bradshaw and Montana with 4 Super Bowl rings. I can cheer for that. I have to admit, I was one of those few people who actually wanted to see New England have that perfect season a few years back. That's not something we're likely to ever see. But growing up a Cowboys fan, Bradshaw and Montana broke my heart several times. It'd be nice to see Brady up there with them. And ironically, it was a guy named Manning who would once again help prevent that. Speaking of which, an amazingly talented quarterback with a chance to get one more ring in the twilight of his career. I can cheer for that. Manning is one of the best talents to ever play the position, but he does have trouble sealing the proverbial deal. A part of me kinda hoped that he would win it all and promptly announce his retirement and go out a champion. A quarterback who kisses his bicep after scoring a touchdown? Forget it. I don't know why, it just rubs me the wrong way. He looks like a narcissistic gym rat. Which I guess is kind of redundant. Gina asked me, what about Cam Newton's Superman move when he scores a touchdown? Well, that's different. I like Superman. Then we got to the conference championship game. And there was the big Richard Sherman controversy. Now, like I said, I missed the game because I was listening to Gary Johnson give a speech. But we were in a banquet room at a restaurant that was showing the game. And we heard the whole place go nuts on that deflected interception in the end zone. On the way home from the fundraiser, social media was blowing up about Sherman and what he did. I had no idea what was going on, so I checked it out when I got home. Luckily, the first thing I saw was the post-game interview. Now, call me crazy, but I knew, listening to him go off, that there was something more going on between Sherman and Crabtree than just this game. Sure enough, after everyone jumped on the guy about being a poor sport, it comes to light that there was a long feud between the two. Now, you add to that the deciding play in a high-stakes game, and you know emotions are going to be running high. It's no surprise that Sherman was less than diplomatic or tactful afterwards. But like Babe Ruth said, it ain't bragging if you can do it. Sherman kicked some ass against a rival with some additional baggage between them. I'm fine with his comments. As an aside, I'm also one of those rare people who like the Pro Bowl. I like the idea of professional athletes playing a game for fun. Same goes with all the other sports all-star games. And this new format is okay, but I think it makes the game more like a regular season matchup than it is just to go out there and have fun. But given the way the league has been evolving over the past decade or so, it doesn't surprise me that they're taking the fun out of it. Now you know why I've drifted over to Australian football. And then there was the game. Now, going in, I expected the Seahawks to win. But I hoped the Broncos would pull it off, because I figured the Hawks had time to get their championship with their core team, but Manning was running out of time due to his age. I kind of wish I had taken the prop bet on the first score of the game being a safety, but it seemed to kind of set the tone of the game for the Broncos. I mean, by the third quarter, I was checking to see if there were any teams other than the Dolphins or the Giants who failed to score an offensive touchdown in the Super Bowl. The Broncos finally got a score, so it became a moot point, but it seemed for a while there that we were going to see the first shutout. All in all, it was a total team victory for Seattle and a total team defeat for Denver. And then there was the halftime show. I admit, I only watched it because I wanted to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Bruno Mars is okay. He's got some music that I can tolerate when Gina insists on playing it on our road trips. But what the hell was anyone thinking ending the halftime show on a ballad? Because nothing says football more than a pop star ballad in the middle of the biggest sports spectacle in the United States of America. And then there were the commercials. I had a couple of chuckles and some spots that I thought were moderately clever, but that was pretty much a dud for me as well. Although I do have to say the Scientology commercial, that was probably the funniest thing I saw all night. An overall crappy game, subpar entertainment, and clunky advertisements. If this were school, I'd give it a D-. And I'm being generous. Like I said earlier, the best thing for me is my favorite type of football has started its preseason, so I got something to look forward to. Go Cats. So, a few days after the game, I was thinking about why all this bullshit is such a big deal for us. Why do we buy into these athletes playing a game? Granted, there's a lot of hype, especially when it comes to American football. It seems like sometimes you just can't escape it. Commercials promoting the upcoming season. Hell, as the game was ending, as the Super Bowl was ending, the New Orleans Saints posted a message on Facebook that the opening game is just 214 days away. There are shows devoted to the league that run all year round. There's a fucking network devoted to the league. And to be fair, other sports leagues as well, and some college programs for that matter. It has permeated the lives of millions of people. Why? The comparisons will always come about the end of the Roman Empire, where the masses lusted after the gladiatorial clashes, their sport. Invariably, people will cite our obsession with football and baseball and basketball and hockey and, for reasons that escape me, soccer, as a sign that we as a society are nearing our fall as well. There are all kinds of other comparisons with the Roman Empire that make sports seem like an afterthought, but that's a talk for another day. Why do so many lust for sport? Why do we spend so much time and money on games? My gut tells me it's a very simple reason. Jealousy. We are jealous of their fame, their fortune, their seemingly easy life. They make what the market demands they make. I know that sounds like a cheap answer, and maybe it is, but the fact remains that they wouldn't make as much money as they do if we didn't literally buy into their product. We're jealous of their physical abilities. Come on, you're telling me you don't wish you had the physical attributes of a professional athlete? You wouldn't want the talent of a professional athlete? You wouldn't want to be able to hit a clutch bank shot like Tim Duncan? Or pitch like Greg Maddux? Or throw a spiral with the accuracy of Drew Brees? Hell, I'd be grateful just to be as tall as them. Well, at least 6 feet. Ah, you say, but physical abilities fade with age. True. But that doesn't matter when it comes to our jealousy. In fact, it plays right into it. Because we're mostly jealous of how they earn their living. Think about it. They get paid not just to play a game, but to win a game. Their entire life is competition against comparable athletes. They get to be in direct control of their work. When you watch Richard Sherman on the deciding play of a game, having not only the ability to leap and disrupt the pass, but also have the mental acuity to tip it to a teammate for a game-ending interception, you realize these guys have a hell of a lot more control over their destiny than most people. They found their way into a system that rewards talent and hard work. They also do it in the prime of their physical life and have the opportunity to amass enough wealth to comfortably retire before the age of 40. And they're playing a game. It's fun. How many people get to say their job is a source of fun, like playing a game? Most of us are stuck in a system where hyperregulation, taxes, and bureaucracy siphons just enough of our earnings to where the fortunate ones will be able to retire by the time they're senior citizens. And most are a paycheck away from financial hardship. Look, I've groused about this before. There are plenty of ways people fuck up their own lives with foolish spending and even more foolish debt. The problem is, even the ones who are smart enough to spend less than they earn have the deck stacked against them by a government that cares more about growing and maintaining their power by taking from the producers and giving to the leeches of a nation and of the world than they do about the people just trying to build a good life for themselves. Why does the government have to make it so difficult for us to strive for what we love? I could be way off base here, but could it be that we envy the professional athlete because they have better access to their market and a freer market than the vast majority of other professions? It could very well be professional athletes and sports in general have their own set of behind-the-scenes interference, because Various levels of government, from local to federal, pry into markets in myriad ways. We may never be able to get a full comprehension of how much government invades our lives and interferes with our pursuit of happiness. And they could very well be interfering with sports and athletes as much as they interfere with us. Yeah, maybe I'm projecting. Regardless, unless we make it easier for people to pursue and achieve their dreams by getting useless government roadblocks out of the way, we'll continue to covet sports as an escape from our reality. Okay, enough about sports. I'm going to get into some odds and ends of a few things that have happened over the past few weeks. Wait, no. One more sporting event for February. The Winter Olympics. I'm kind of throwing this in as a contrast to the lengthy football discussion earlier. I don't give a shit about the Olympics, winter or summer. There are very few sporting events that the Olympics allows in that I care about, and almost all of them are done at a better level here in the States or someplace easily accessible. Yes, I do like the idea of curling, but not enough to watch it. So, to hell with the Olympics, get the NHL back on the ice. Now I'm done with sports. Back to the other topics. Really, I mean it this time. First off, a restaurant in Los Angeles has added a 3% tax to its customers' bills in order to offset the cost of Obamacare. They say it is necessary to keep their employees full-time. The response has varied, from some being perfectly fine with it, just like you would expect from good sheep. But one person freaked out over it, writing about how wrong it was of this restaurant to add the charge. What this idiot doesn't get is the cost was going to be there one way or the other. The restaurant saw the need to increase the cost to the customer because of further government regulation. The increase would be there no matter what. The restaurant decided to show the customers that the increase wasn't due to their lust for more profits or a demand for higher wages by the staff, but rather that it was specifically due to this new tax. Don't forget, the Affordable Health Care Act can only be legal if it is considered a tax, making it a required tax on every adult in the United States. I think this is something every restaurant ought to do. When you get your bill, you should see the cost of just the food and the labor needed to prepare and serve it. Then you should have a total of the cost of all the taxes and regulations the various levels of government has put on the restaurant. Imagine the bill showing food and labor, and then the cost of all the regulations to bring that food and provide that labor to you. I guarantee you, you would be shocked about how much you are really paying to government and how much is going to the restaurant and the employees. This itemized billing, this is a trend that needs to continue. Next up, the Arizona legislature has approved a law and sent it to the governor to sign that would protect a business from declining service to gay couples based on the business owner's religious beliefs. Welcome to the latest clusterfuck. We have one side cheering because they believe gay marriage is wrong, so they're going to fight against it with everything they got. We've got another side angry because it is government-sanctioned exclusion. I believe you have the right to associate and enter into a private contract with whomever you choose. Stated differently, marry any mutually agreeable person or persons you wish. I also believe that you have the right to believe and express your faith, even if it is not popular with society. Furthermore, I have an aversion bordering on disdain for people who run to the government to force others to conform to their views. So what's the libertarian answer here? Like many things, the answer lies within us. As distasteful as I find these situations, private business owners must have the right to refuse service to anyone, even if it is for blatantly foolish reasons. But the knee-jerk response to run to government is a trap. We must use the better tools we have at our disposal. If a business refuses service to you because of your sexuality, or gender, or race, or body type, etc., then advertise it all over social media. Let me know about it, because I'll talk about it and I'll let others know. I won't take my money there. I'll ask everybody I know to do the same. And yes, there is always the possibility of the people who share in the business owner's bias rallying their support, Chick-fil-A. So what? Let them carve out their narrow niche and serve the narrow-minded. I'm sick of these anti-capitalist people letting their own bias interfere with running an honorable business. The true capitalist, who values providing superior service to all, will win in the end. But don't let government in on the matter, because, as we've seen too many times before, allowing them to decide on the situation now gives them the opportunity to change their fickle little power-hungry minds to suck up to the tyranny of the masses in the future. Last-minute addendum to the podcast, because obviously this was recorded before the news broke this afternoon that Governor Brewer has decided to veto the bill. I don't think she did it because she wanted to veto it. I think she did it because of political pressure. Regardless, it was the right move. Government needs to stay out of private business, and marriage for that matter. I'd like to save this for last, but the last thing is really important. So let me just say this. Rest in peace, Harold Ramis. Thank you for all the laughs. Lastly, while much of the world has been focused on the Ukraine and their struggle to choose their alliances, most news sources took much too long, or even outright ignored, the plight of the citizens of Venezuela. Despite the love fest that some Hollywood notables have had with the deceased leader of the country, the fact remains that it is a socialist nation that was led by a tyrant, and is led now by another tyrant. When anti-government rallies were staged in several cities across the country, the tyrant didn't like that. And the force that all tyrants covet was applied. I read an excerpt of a post on the CaracasChronicles.com website. Throughout last night, panicked people told their stories of state-sponsored paramilitaries on motorcycles roaming middle-class neighborhoods, shooting at people and storming into apartment buildings, shooting at anyone who seemed like he might be protesting. People continued to be arrested merely for protesting, and a long-established local human rights NGO makes an urgent plea for an investigation into widespread reports of torture of detainees. There are now dozens of serious human rights abuses. National Guardsmen shooting tear gas canisters directly into residential buildings. We have videos of soldiers shooting civilians on the street. And that's just what came out in real time over Twitter and YouTube before any real investigation is carried out. Online media is next. A city of 645,000 inhabitants have been taken off the internet amid mounting repression. The tyrant didn't like that what he was doing was getting out in social media, alerting the rest of the world of the true nature of his regime. So he shut social media down. the one news station that wasn't a mouthpiece for President Maduro was taken off the air. The latest example of collectivist tyranny is hunting, beating up, and in some cases, killing the opposition. The people of Venezuela find it more difficult to tell their story, to tell the truth, because of state-controlled media. By the way, you are aware that the FCC recently attempted to get into the newsrooms of the American media. Like any other nudge the government has used over the years, it will start off simply just wanting to hang out to see if things are run properly. If they get their way. When they get their way. It will be just a matter of time before they too can flip a switch and shut us all up in cyberspace. Ayn Rand escaped tyranny and tried to warn the free world about the gradual erosion of liberties the government uses. Venezuela is the latest warning sign for us. Do we listen and learn? Or do we just accept as the tyranny continues to infiltrate our lives? This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.